So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast.
Okay, so welcome, Mike. We are live, and welcome, everybody, for those that are watching live and those that are watching the replay. On with me today, I've got a good friend of mine called Mike Woods. He's Welsh, but don't hold that against him. Mike's been in property a lot longer than I have. I've been in 20 years. Mike's been in... How long have you been in property, Mike?
Well, if I take into consideration my architectural, I started in architecture in 1984. So we're 35 years. In
and you're up a bit over 30.
I don't look it, but I started in the architecture in 1984, 86. Got my first job, left college, didn't want to go to university and do that sort of angle. So it was like, I want to go out there and work. So I remember getting my first job. It was, mid-late 80s.
Yeah.
Then I started just moving from architectural practice to architectural practice to knock up the pay rate, you know. And then I landed, unfortunately, in local authority. So I worked in a local authority for 3 years, which was incredibly boring. I couldn't wait to get out.
But, really? Who would have guessed?
Yeah. In the architects department in a local authority. But here's the thing. In hindsight, I learned so much from that because one of the jobs I was given was to refurbish 3, if not 4 streets of houses, council houses.
Yeah.
So I had to go in every one of those houses, even though they were council houses, each one was slightly different. And then we had to, I'd measure them up, put them all together, and then we had to do a refurbishment scheme on it. So in hindsight, I guess that was the core of understanding buildings and how they function. You know,
and then just skip forward to today for me. So then today, like, you've got millions of pounds of property. You drive a Ferrari, for God's sake. Not just one, but you've got 2 Ferraris. What's that about? Midlife crisis. I need to get mine.
Oh, excuse me. Midlife crisis is when I bought a Harley 10 years ago. I knew that 10 years ago.
I might have had mine because I moved to Spain, but I reckon I'm due another one fairly soon. So I'm looking forward to, midlife crisis these days looks more like speedboats because we live next to the Med, not Porsches and Ferraris. We can't get over the speed bumps here.
I'll tell you the story. The quick story about the Ferrari was I used to have in the 80s, no, 2000s, I had a TT, an Audi TT. And then when I got rid of that, I thought, where do you go from this new super, fantastic Audi TT? Where do you go? And the natural progression was to Porsche. So I bought my first Porsche, went to another. A friend of mine had this awesome C4S, bought that off him, went and bought a brand new one then, the new 996 that came out.
Yeah.
And over 3 years, I lost 38 grand.
Yeah.
And then
I've got a Porsche as well, Mike, and that depreciation is
incredible. So then I thought, you know what? I'm not doing supercars anymore. No way am I doing sports cars like that anymore. However, that lasted about 4 months. And then I just came across this Ferrari 348 and it was 30 grand. And I thought, that's less than I just lost.
Yeah. That's a good price, you know. You look at those cars now, what we're going for?
60. Well, here's the thing. You know, you see people saying about people spending money on flash cars and they're wasting money. Well, hang on a minute. I bought that car with the profits I made from property, and it's gone up 30 grand in 8 years. Mm-hmm. So I think it's all about perspective, Dan. You know, if you've made money in property, I believe you should reward yourself for your efforts. That was my reward. I made the decision lightly, and it turned out, and I knew what I was doing, that the car was an investment. Everybody said that car's going to go one way, and it happened. It's nearly gone 60 grand in 8 years, so 30 grand. I've just had it serviced. Everything's been done on it. It's like pristine. So it's an asset now. It's a sort of asset. It's not losing money, is it? So
doesn't put money in your pocket today. What if you rented it? And then your cost of
it is because it's a nice feeling to know if something went wrong, or if I needed something, if I needed to react quickly, if I could sell that car quite quickly, yeah. and I could net, it's paid for, it's not finance, yeah. but I'd net myself 50 grand.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, there's people who say, like, don't get me wrong, I like cars too, but I think that when you're paying for your car through money that you're receiving through your time that you're having to exchange for that money, that's wrong. If you're paying for the car from money that you're getting from property that actually tops itself up next month and the following and the following month, I'm more than happy with that. But also those people who say buying an exotic car is a waste of money, they've clearly never been married and then divorced. If you want to know what a total waste of money is, just get divorced and then you'll really feel it. At least you're going to enjoy the Ferrari for a bit, you know. So, yeah, okay, that's cool. So then what are you doing today? Like, what's life like today? You've got millions of pounds of properties. You run training courses and you show people how to develop land and properties. Tell me more about that, if you could.
Well, you listen. I've come to a point where I'm fortunate, Dan. I've got my properties are managed by a lady, Helen, that I've got in the office, and she works 2.5 days a week. But she doesn't only just look after my properties; she looks after mine and my wife's properties, and my wife's properties at a lesser so. And yeah. I've got companies now with other investors, and she looks after those as well. So it's about systems. So Helen comes in. And she's got the system such that, you know, she just makes sure everything's running in the bank and there's any maintenances, that's going first. So day to day, I have very little involvement in the property portfolio other than when she needs my help. So it's like, Mike, I'm having a problem with this tenant, or a tradesman gone out to do a job and the problem's escalated. I only need to step in at that point. You might have seen, and people have seen on my Facebook, that I recently, as a bit of a punt. I bought a property which was a rundown cottage, but I was looking to run this as a new model, which is the holiday let. Okay, I haven't done one of those before. I live in the foothills of the Brecon Beacon, so the idea was is let's see. Now, I most days I'm in a coffee shop down the road in the village. I bumped into this guy last year, and he was running one, and he said it's quite lucrative. So I set out to find myself basically the exact thing. I wanted a cottage, not on a main road, that is in need of modernization so I could lift the value. But lo and behold, this particular thing that I found had a large garden that was being sold without line planning permission.
Right.
For what? Now, critical mistake here by the vendors, okay? They're looking to sell a property in need of refurbishment. So ask yourself this open question. How many people are out there who are going to take on a 3-bed, 150-year-old cottage and refurbish it? So who's out there to buy it and do it and either do it as a business or do it to buy and live in?
Yes.
Secondly, how many people out there are looking for a plot to build a bungalow on? Question. But how many people are out there to buy both, a property to refurbish and a plot? Very little people.
No, you're one of them.
When you operate at a certain level, the competition is less.
Yeah.
There's nobody there. They made a couple of other mistakes in the marketing. They dragged it out a bit. They didn't get all the furniture out. Anyway, long and short of it is, it was on the market 149 and I paid 115 for it all.
Yeah.
So I refurbed the cottage. I've just had that cottage revalued now at 160 after a 40K spend. So the land is free. If I went out there and said how to get land for free, it would get an element of skepticism.
Yeah.
But the reality is, I bought it for 110, spent 40 on the refurb. I'm all in for 150, and I've just had the place revalued at 160.
Yeah.
So look, I'm going to mix about some costs and some tax, and let's round it up. 150, 160.
Yeah.
I've got the plot. I've sectioned off the plot on by deed. Unfortunately, I know somebody in the architectural business who can do deed plans, fortunately. So I knocked up a plan for the deed, sent that to the solicitor, and just this week I got a new title back on the land.
Amazing. So, I mean, you literally then lost the plot. Well, you separated it.
Well, I found it and lost it. So the plot is now 95% complete. This morning's one task for me was to contact the renewable energy guy, because we're putting what's called an air source heat pump in, not a normal conventional gas boiler, because there is no gas there. But other than that, that's going on. Now, here's the thing, Dan. I've got tradesmen on that job. I've got a guy building my stone porch at the moment. Yeah. My involvement is that is, have you got enough stone? I need another bag of stone, so I call the merchants. It's a 5-minute call. They'll go and deliver it. So I'm back out of that again now. So literally, when you've got systems set up, you do have time on your hands. So what I try and fill my time with is, if it's a nice day, I'll go for a spin in the car. And I'm joking, I do create time for that, as we all should do.
Yeah.
But basically, it's looking for the next deal, of which I have found another property which is full of knotweed. And I was there with the knotweed specialist just 2 days ago, just running through the amount that we had to deal with, which was 2/3 of a large 20-meter garden. So that's the other little project I've got on. So again,
that's cool though, because what you were saying before was spotting opportunities that other people would turn down because it's just too much. Like Japanese knotweed, like most people would go, oh no, I don't know anything about that. I just know that you can't set it on fire and that you shouldn't have it and it's really bad. And property prices come down. People don't want to deal with that.
No, well, you're right. You know, I've seen many times innocent people, and no disrespect, they're putting a photo or a picture on Facebook saying, I'm looking at this property, is this knotweed? And people have said, yes, run for the hills, run. Yeah. It's the old adage, isn't it? When the masses are running that way, what are they all running away from? Let's go and see if we can resolve this problem.
Lack of knowledge, lack of confidence, lack of expertise. There's money there, and you know, as property developers or investors, our job is to solve problems. That's the bottom line, is to solve other problems that other people don't want to do. And 95%, 99% of the population haven't got a bloody clue, quite frankly. So there's always opportunities in there.
There is, and here's the thing, Dan, and this is one of my main beefs about the property training industry per se, okay? And I say this at every training, so I'm not just saying it to you. I do say it very, very, very much so. Yeah. To me, from somebody who's been in the property industry from a professional point of view and a sort of hands-on point of view, my perspective is different than, say, somebody coming to the marketplace. And what I see is people being promoted on yield and you know, this is a good property in this location. But to me, there's something in the middle missing. And I call it keep your property portfolio liquid. The location is massively important, of course, whatever strategy you're doing. The middle one, the Q, is the quality of the building you're buying and the quality of your asset, as well as D, liquid, the demand, obviously, whether it's for sale, whether it's for rent or it's HMO, whatever, demand is important. But nobody, unfortunately, focuses, apart from myself, and I hammer this home, the quality of your building. If you don't understand the quality of your asset, in car terms, like it's like saying you bought a lemon, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? That's what it's about. Yeah. So we take this property for a case in point now with the knotweed. I went searching for a property, contact all my agents like you do, and they said, oh, there's this one on the market. It's on at 69, but it's full of knotweed, cash only. Okay, that's fine. Yeah. Let's deal with that. Let's go and see it. And yet, 2/3 of the garden is knotweed from the back downwards. The left-hand property, there's knotweed in that one as well. And the right-hand property, there's knotweed as well. So I call my knotweed specialist, who's a friend of mine, and I've said, if we go in here, what am I looking at? And he gave me a price. And then he said, and what we need to do now is we need to contact the neighbors and discuss with them. Now, if Chev comes to push, I'll pay for them gardens to be not retreated.
Yeah.
Because if there's, so let's just say round figures, $3,000 for this, it's not $9,000 for this. Yeah. It might be $6,000 to do it all.
Yeah.
But I just had the property for $51,000 from 69, and it's worth about 85. So I can afford to knock next door and say, do you know what? I don't mind treating your knotweed. I could lean on them and put pressure on and saying, if you don't sort your knotweed out, I'll sue you under this recent act. But what I've said to the neighbour to the right, who's a rental, and he's openly given me the landlord's name and address, who's based in the Midlands, I've rung him up yesterday and introduced myself and said, look, I'm a local property investor, been in this area a long time, and I just bought a property next door to you, and you've got a lot of knotweed. Now, here's the thing. Behind us, there is a nice cul-de-sac of houses, and we have knotweed within 7 meters of their boundary.
Yeah.
We are exposed to being sued off them for bringing the properties of their value down. So I said to this guy, it's in your interest, as well as mine, to treat this knotweed. Now, I'm getting a guy in to treat it. Do you want to be part of it? And he went, thank you very much. Thank you for involving me. And thank you for offering. So I've said what I'm paying for my garden. And I've suggested to him that he wouldn't pay the same because, as I've just said, it's cheaper to treat the whole than the sections.
Yeah.
So I've put my specialist in touch with him, and hopefully he'll agree, as he did on the phone, and we were away to go. So by working together, we all come out with a result, you know?
Yeah, brilliant. So and that's what it's about. It's about, you know, finding deals and communicating with people and working with people. Like, I see so many property investors, and they're just, I'll give you an example. We had a property that we bought and we refurbed and then we sold it on. Going back about 15 years, this one. And we put it on the market and we found a buyer. We're going to make about 20 grand on it. And the person that was buying that property, they found out it was me and they pulled out. And the reason that they pulled out was because their exact words were, well, if he's selling it, there must be something wrong. Exact words. And it's like, no, I'm selling it because I want all that cash back out because we've got another property and we need all the cash back out, so, you know, to move it on basically for another great deal. And they were buying for buy to let, but they couldn't understand why I would sell that property, you know? And it's like, if they'd have just asked, I would have told them. It's great, you know, it's a great property. Like, it was 90 grand or something. Like, now it's like 200 grand, you know?
Right.
And it's like this idea of just communicating and solving problems and working with people instead of butting heads, like I see a lot of people doing. Like with that landlord, you know, you could have butt heads, so to speak.
I think the way there's one section in the trainings that I do, and it's under the heading negotiation. And part of the model is to speak to people and treat people the sort of way you want to be treated. Yeah. Now, I could have gone in there. There's two angles, maybe three, but the two angles could have been is, I'm buying this property, I can't get a mortgage, and I know I can't get a mortgage, but I'm buying it cash anyway. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But I could go in there and say, I can't get a mortgage on my property because you've got knotweed, so get it sorted or I'll sue you.
Yeah.
Option one. Yeah?
Yeah.
I guess that's going to rub him up the wrong way, and I'm going to get resistance from the beginning. What I'm telling him is the truth. But by saying, hi, I'm buying a property next door to you and I'm treating my knotweed, but here's the thing. Well, not only can I not get a mortgage on my property that I've treated it, I'm exposed to being sued by those guys in those very nice houses behind because I'm dragging their properties down in value because they can't sell because the person buying their house can't get a mortgage because knotweed is in 7 meters of their boundary. And I said, and you're exposed to that as well.
Yeah.
So same scenario, you could get sued, but just not by me. You could get sued by somebody else. Yeah. And then I said, look, but I can help you here. I'm going to do mine. If you want me to help you do yours, you live in the Midlands, which is 2.5 hours up the road from us. He's probably going to go, yeah, well, that helps me because, as I said, if you wanted to remortgage or sell your house one day, you will be stuck. So to me, it's a no-brainer. If somebody's coming to you and giving you a solution, then take it on board.
Yeah,
if you do that yourself remotely, somebody would take advantage. He'd ring some no-name app from the Yellow Pages or Google or whatever and say, knotweed, but how much? Ooh, there's a lot of knotweed there. Mm-hmm. And over your plan, that's going to cost you 6, 7, 8 grand, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? But now we're talking a third of that, even not less. So it makes sense. But just you know, you don't have to be greedy in this business, Dan. No,
there's plenty of business. There's plenty of property. Like, there's loads of properties. You know, 20 years ago when we were refurbing properties, I had this sense of I need to do it quick and get on to the next because we're going to run out of properties. And here we are 20 years later, still buying stuff that's crap, you know, that needs doing up. And
yeah.
And this beauty in muck, you know, this money in muck with crappy properties where you can go in and add value. And this is what you're doing and you're making a lot of money from doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I have got mentees and I go to them with I go to properties with them, right? That's part of the one-to-one.
Yeah.
And I walk the properties with them. And they go, oh, Mike, there's this crack between the wall and the ceiling, and I'm very worried about that. And I just say, don't worry about it. It's nothing of any significance. And yeah. They're wondering, what you need to be worried about is this here. Oh, I didn't notice that. Yeah. So it's like the attention is on completely different things. So when I go into a property now and do my visual surveys or investigations, I will go in and I'm looking for issues. I'm not just going in scanning and looking at all sorts of things. You know, yeah. That I'm ignoring. You know, it's like delete, not important, delete, not important. Smell, there's the damp. Where's the damp coming from? Is it through the floor? Is it rising damp? Is it because the paths are too high on the outside? Is it a solid wall? If it's a cavity wall, why have I got damp here on a cavity wall? Are the cavities full of rubbish? You know, yeah. Why? It's deeper. It's not just surface. You know, it's deeper. And that then makes me wonder how people manage when they don't have the depth of knowledge.
Wow.
And I'd like to. I can share that knowledge with them, and I can give them that support. And I know I do, but unfortunately, they are distracted by the get rich quick people. And that is, you can be 7 days, 10 days, 1 month. You know, how long does it take to buy a property, Dan?
Say that again.
How long does it take to buy a property? 6-8 weeks.
So
it's just amazing. And what worries me as well, knowing what I know, and I'm guessing what you know, is where people are encouraged to build a property portfolio. But here's another thing. They're not building a portfolio, unfortunately. And I don't disregard rent-to-rent, okay? I do think it's a good way into property.
Yeah, but it's a stepping stone, though.
To go and borrow money off somebody else and persuade them that you know, act as if, and then I think it's dangerous.
I think
it's dangerous that they can go and use these lines or these scripts to go and encourage people to invest in them, and they've got no knowledge and no experience.
You know, the act as if. Act as if is an internal mechanism, not an external mechanism. Yeah. So what I mean by that is, if I want to be powerful and confident and I put my chest out, that's me acting as if I'm powerful and confident.
Yeah.
What it doesn't mean is that I go out and lie to someone saying, I've got £1 million sat in the bank and I'm looking for your property. Because that's just an outright lie. That's not acting as if I've got £1 million. That's a lie. And this idea around acting as if people have got wrong, it should be about, it's an internal process. It's not an external process. That's called lying, you know, and it drives me mad. And the other thing that drives me mad, so we've got property sourcing training, and the 3-1, we have a lot of sign-ups. And as a percentage of those sign-ups, very low percentage of people then pay, and it's £97 a month, so it's not even a huge amount. But it's very, very small. So they want the freebie, thinking that will change their life. I don't know anything that I've got for free that's changed my life. But the biggest lessons cost a lot. And I don't just mean money. They cost my sanity, my ego. They cost my shame. They cost all sorts of different things. Mm. Money, you know, if only it cost money, that would be really nice. And I wouldn't be as damaged.
The time you've lost and the stress and the worry. It's
absolutely.
But you can tell people that before they enter that arena.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Listen, there's a guy, I just did a 2-day property workshop, an intensive workshop last week.
Yeah.
And there's a guy there, and he told me that he lost $100,000 on a deal, right? I didn't go into detail. And I said to him, If I'd told you before, I said, look, this looks a bit dodgy. Pay me 10 grand to cover your backside or cover your ass or cover your shoulder and be your wingman to make sure you don't lose this money, would you have paid me? And he did that. Yeah, of course I would. I said, but we've gone before the event and said, I think this looks a bit precarious. You know, pay me 10 grand and I'll make sure you avoid this. You probably would go, nah, it's okay, I'll manage. Yeah. And you're not losing 100 grand. So this is the problem.
People, I think there's another problem, though. And the problem stems from authenticity. How do we know? So we, you know, for example, there is one person, and we're not going to mention his name, okay? So there's one person, and he's all this, and you go to his YouTube channel, and it's all that, and then you look at how many views he's got. He's got 10,000 views on a video. What, on what, from since last week? And then he's got 300 comments, and you're like, dude, you're just buying comments and views, for God's sake. And, you know, but that kind of marketing works, and yet there's no authenticity there. I question how many properties they've got and how many properties they've bought, and have they even done these refurbs? Or does all the money come from training? And there's no authenticity there. And I know we talk about this, and it drives us both. But how do you, like, if I was to ask you, how do I trust you? How do I know you're authentic? What sets you apart from everybody else?
Well, in the first instance, I would, because I've been in this industry, and I can't fake that, you know what I mean? The architectural practice was established in 1995 as an NHBC builder in 2004. I can take people to, and they're happy to shadow me. I can take people around my properties, and I could go and see Mary, for example, who's been a tenant of mine for 15 years, and say, Mary, you know, I tell these guys what I'm like as a landlord, and I'd confidently do that because she'd just be there. Well, I've been with you 15 years, Mike. What do you want me to say?
Yeah.
You
know,
she's moved three times with me. She first came to one house, and then I had another house not so far away, which is a really nice house. And she's so meticulous in keeping a house clean. She's Irish. And she's just got this inbuilt. She cleans her, sweeps her step. Yeah. And I said, Mary, this house is just, I think this will suit you really well. And she was over the moon, you know, hugging me and all this stuff. And then, a few years later, she said, Mike, have you got a bungalow with no stairs? Because I'm getting older. And she's living in a bungalow now. And she's been there. So it's 15, 16 years. Yes, since 2003. So, yeah, that's 16 years.
Yeah.
You know, you try to show people the depth of your knowledge. Like my videos, when I'll do videos start to finish. On one of my refurbs where we made 42K, I videoed it from the minute I arrived at the property to take people in, and I walked out the door when it was sold and said, there we are. But if people do watch those videos, and I may say this myself, what I've realized is that when I walk in the property and I say things like, when this is finished, it's going to be like this. I'm going to have this. The stairs is going to be over there. We're going to open this room up. And then video number 16 is what I said at video number one. And it's not edited. It is what it is.
Yeah,
and I just say things as they are, and if I can, you know, show people my knowledge on how to spot these typical building defects, which are critical in my opinion, then in answer to your question, check out my YouTube stuff or check out my Facebook stuff and videos and blogs, and people will see that there's depth of knowledge there. And I utilize that depth of knowledge to build up my property portfolio as efficiently as possible.
You see,
that's it.
What I find quite interesting is I see a lot of people and they build the marketing first, and it's all bluster. It's all, and I've got one person, it's the same person actually, I've got one person in my mind, and I see his bluster, and he's one video and he's yelling at people in a room. I'm like, what part of that is helping that individual other than giving them shame of some kind? It makes me cringe to see it, but it works. It's just so bizarre that this kind of marketing works. But then when you peel back the curtain, you know, the Wizard of Oz curtain, it's the man behind, you know, making, it's just all marketing, and there's no stuff behind it at all. It's just behind.
You know, I think I know the person you're talking about. But there are others, and it's the razzmatazz here I come, you know, and then, you know, thank you for that great welcome. You know, you just generated that. But here's the thing, you know, the models have shown that they don't work because the failure rate is massive.
Huge.
It's massive failure rate. And what I fear and what I feel very sorry for people is they'll probably go and get a property, they'll get a deal, it will crash and burn, and they'll go, you know what, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
And they've exited. And I'll give you an example. Sorry, Dan, I'm just going to pull everything out of the sun a little bit because the sun's coming up here.
Oh, my goodness, this sunny Wales.
Sunny South Wales, that's right. So I picked a bright spot in my dining room here. So I was at my training event the other day, and I was saying to people how I bought a property, a cheap property for 32 grand, and it was a lot of work needed to it. And I foresaw that I was going to make about 15 grand out of this property. I promised an old lady I would buy it. And then when I peeled the layers and got back through the wallpaper and pulled up, I was down to flagstone floors, 40 years of wallpaper. The house was dreadful. And I thought, I'm going to make about 15 grand here after I've spent 25, 30 grand. Do you know what? Why don't I just put it back on the market and maybe walk away with 5, 8, maybe 10 grand?
Yeah.
And I haven't had a touch it, and let somebody else maybe make some more money out of it, or if they think they can.
Yeah.
And there was a nasty crack at the rear of the building. It had an annex, had a nasty crack. But the reason for the crack was that there was what was called a snow box, is where a number of pipes join, and something had grown out of this regularly fed water hopper, and it had grown into the stonework of the wall and started cracking the wall. Now, there was also some other defects where the bath had been leaking, so the floor had dropped a bit, but they were all repairable items. And once you hacked off the render, you stitched the crack, render it back in, you're all job done. And that's, in fact, what we did.
Yeah.
But we put the house back on the market at a small margin. And what happened actually is somebody sent a surveyor along. And this surveyor advised this young lady, who's probably new to the property market, that the whole extension was subsiding.
Wow.
And it needed to be dropped at a cost and rebuild of 25,000. So this young lady walked away on the strength of that poor advice. Yeah. Because on my videos, and I've got a couple of people photographed at this before and after, and what we did was we hacked off where the crack is, we put some horizontal tie bars in the stonework, we mortared it back up, we rendered it, that tied it back together again. Once we took the source of the cracking out, which was the root, it wasn't going to go anywhere anymore.
Yeah.
We replaced the joists under the bathroom floor.
Just that little bit of information, isn't it? Just that tiny little snippet. But if you don't know, it can change everything. Just a tiny little snippet.
There was two defects going on. One common, the bath had been leaking over 20 years because it was an old house and caused the joists to start dropping, which has caused the ceiling and the kitchen to drop. Yeah. And the thing was no more than 8 foot wide. To replace 5 joists in that area was a couple hundred quid.
Yeah.
And you go and put the floor in down, put your vinyl back down. Hack off the crack. I guess those two items to repair in total were probably 1,000 or 1,500 quid. But this surveyor came along and misdiagnosed this as subsidence. And this young lady who could have maybe, you know, we did make about 12, 15 grand on it, but she could have maybe done it a different way and made some money on it. But poorly advised, she lost the deal. She lost the deal because she didn't have the knowledge. Now here's the thing, and maybe it's a bit strong of me to expect some younger person to have the experience I've got, but they took advice on, paid for, and it was bad advice.
Yeah.
Bad advice. Which takes,
We would always say that, you know, confidence and confidence in your abilities to be a developer comes from two places. One is knowledge, which she didn't have, and two is experience, which you don't get until you've done a couple of deals.
Absolutely. You know, what comes first? You know, knowledge, build up the knowledge, learn, and then dip your feet in the water. But you know what? You know, stand on the shoulders of giants. Work with people who've trodden the path that's gone before you, because mistakes are costly. And the wise people do come to me and say, I've tried and I've realized that actually I could be doing better if I had somebody to help me. You know, here's the basics. Would you teach yourself to free fall?
Hell no. Or brain surgery, would I teach myself that? I had Spanish this morning. Would I teach myself Spanish?
I don't know. Yeah, exactly. Would you teach yourself to drive? It's a legal requirement that you have to have lessons, because if you don't, you're going to make some mistakes, and you know what? You're going to crash.
Yeah, absolutely. So listen, Mike, where can people get more information about what you do or your next events, any groups that you've got, that kind of thing? Where can people make contact and download any free stuff you've got on the website?
Immediate access is Facebook, loads of stuff on Facebook, lots of information. That will then take people naturally then if they want to read some of my blogs, which are coming out all the time on the mystiques of condensation, what subsidence is all about, what about rising damp, all this stuff. So Facebook first, port a call, send me a friend's request or just follow me. That will then take people to my website where there's a host of information. It's all there.
The website's Property Expert Partnership, right?
Property Expert Partnership, correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, of course, you know, there's the book, the Amazon best-selling book, which they'll find through those medias as well. Yeah. 220 pages of content.
Content,
you know, building regulations, Party Wall Act, how to understand if it's of interest to you, how is the property market in the conditions in now, because I've done a great section on the credit crunch back in 2005 to 2007.
Yeah.
You know, everything is there. I think that's a really interesting subject area because, you know, if you know what's gone on in the past, it can really help you understand, you know, where we're going on in the future. So, great section on the credit crunch in the book there as well as case studies, real case studies with links to the videos in YouTube. And there's hundreds of videos on YouTube as well. And it's all free.
Awesome. Good stuff. Right, we'll end it there, Mike. Thank you very much. I've got a gym session to do next. I've had my 400-meter swimming. I've got my running session. I've got my basketball tonight. I'm on a keep fit regime. I've got my Spanish learning. Boy, I'm talking about living uncomfortably at the moment. So I've got a mega busy day. But thank you so much for taking time out of your day and coming on and sharing all that information. Really mega useful.
Brilliant. Lovely. Lovely to speak to you, Dan. And as I say, I just don't want to see people make mistakes. Get in touch. If I can help you, it's nothing, you know. It's not a problem.
Awesome. Have a wicked day.
Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.